Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July the 31st, 208th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, we got a couple folks from the Northern California Community Blood Bank. That's Humboldt County's and Del Norte County's blood bank. That wasn't me. Joanna Lepic Davis, who's in charge of hustling.
Thank you.
See? Huh? And John Gullum, who is in charge of everything to do with resource development.
Yes.
Ooh. So whether you like him or you like her, we got both flavors for you. We'll talk about some of the things that are going on, some of the challenges that are out there. In summertime, it might not be, what is it, and the living is easy?
Yeah.
Might not be quite that way when it comes to the need for blood in our region. So we'll talk about that also when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 315. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with John Gullum and Joanna Lepic Davis. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Percy Boomer. You guys will appreciate the attitude, if not the name. If you wish to hide your character, do not play golf.
Okay.
Yeah. Or donate blood. How's that?
There you go.
I have a quote.
What?
In all things, give 100% unless you're donating blood.
Who's the source of that?
Facebook.
Oh, well, that's handy.
That's not important.
I am having fun laughing. There's one, and I don't know what commercial it is. Tells you how effective it is on me. Talking about definitions on the internet. Well, of course it's on the internet. It's truth. And you get this big guy who's kind of slovenly, out of shape. Oh, here comes my date now. He's a French model. So, yeah. So we'll put that one right up there on that same show.
It's still a good one.
Yeah. How has technology allowed for donor services to either be easier for you folks, or easier for the donors?
Well, I'll start with us. We're actually in the process of implementing a new version of our current software, which allows folks, when they're registering, to use tablets rather than paper. And mostly that's a benefit to us, because those answers go directly into our computer system. They're not transcribed from the paper to the computer system. So it increases the accuracy so that we know that all of the answers are as accurate as they were when they were given to us.
Oh, nice cover.
and it also saves our staff time. As far as what it does for our patients, probably the biggest advance in recent years has been the apheresis technology that allows us to target the blood component that's most in demand, that's most in need by patients. And that's the process where you come in, and it takes, depending on what we're doing, anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours. And what this technology does is it draws your whole blood, and then it centrifuges the blood right there in the machine at the bedside. And if we need platelets, which is typically the most needed component, the platelets are separated and the whole blood and plasma, sorry, the red cells and plasma are given back to you. And we can target what's most in need by patients.
KINS, News and Information Time. Well, we'll hear from Joanna when we come back. It's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Well, not too much with John Gillum, but a little bit more with Joanna Lepik-Davis. Joanna, when John was talking about the benefit of technology for the company,
mm-hmm.
great. What do you see as benefits for the donors with technology and blood banking?
Well, let me start by saying when we first implemented our what we call SRQ, which is the computerized tablets, a lot of our donors were not enthused about it. Going from, you know, the simple paper to a computer system was a little bit confusing for them. What really ends up happening is that the point that they are using those tablets in order to answer the 50-some questions that are required by the FDA, it's quicker. Simply, they get to get through that faster. And then when they get into our screening room, having that instantly transmitted to the next computer where the next donor care specialist is helping them, that part of the process is quicker. So while they feel that it's takes them a little bit longer to answer the questions, it actually speeds up that part of the process by probably about 10 minutes on
average.
Does
it have fingerprint recognition?
No.
Not yet.
I'm to the point now in the grocery stores, I'm using that instead of the stylus.
Yeah.
No,
ours still uses stylist, and they're pretty cool. But so the donors in the beginning, they had mixed emotions about it. And as we've gone on and on, the only complaint that they really have now is that it doesn't save their information and they have to answer the questions every time.
But that was true with the
It's always true.
Paperwork also.
It's always true. And it's a federal requirement that they do that because things change every 56 days. You might have something different. So it intentionally doesn't just pop up with a question that says same as last.
Now you said 56. Is that as often as somebody can donate?
Every 56 days for whole blood, right. And then the other products are platelets can be donated up to twice a week and plasma once a month. Those are the components of the blood that John was referring to earlier.
It's interesting that you could do the different timelines, and that's mm-hmm. because the body replaces.
Exactly.
Correct.
And the red cells carry oxygen and, you know, the iron and that kind of thing. So the time it takes for it to basically get back to a point where we can deplete it again.
And that also roughly corresponds to how long they last, which is why platelets are so critical because they only last 5 days. And if they're not used by a patient locally, they're sent to a blood center who has a patient who needs them right now. And we do what we can to be sure that people's donation goes to a patient. But like I say, we've got 5 days to get those platelets to somebody. And living in Humboldt County, in a place where the airport gets fogged in, that can be a little dicey.
Holidays.
So,
oh, I see. Had a personal on that one, huh?
That can be difficult.
Now, has technology also gone into the amount of time that it takes to wait before you'll let somebody leave? Has the hourglass been replaced?
I don't believe so. I think that 15 minutes basically is what we're asking. Are you asking in jest?
Moi? But, you know, the way you took that hook and ran with it,
sorry.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm a little slow.
Yeah.
So the answer is no.
Yeah. Well, you have to do that head bob thing also.
the time you refresh depends entirely on how you're feeling when you're done.
With the mobile unit that you guys have, mm-hmm. is that more of a mobile technology lab than it is a mobile collection facility?
Not so much. All of the units that are collected on the blood mobiles are brought back to the laboratory, and the next step with the whole blood units takes place in the lab, and that's where they're separated into the key components. If we're in Garberville or Crescent City, often we have a courier who will go partway through the drive to bring back the units that have been donated at the first half of the drive.
Oh, really?
So that
mm-hmm.
so that the lab.
So like a lunch break or something, somebody jumps and buzzes down to the Klamath or to
Meyer's flap. There are time limitations on some products between donation time and the time that they're worked on in the lab, as well as rather than waiting until 10 o'clock when the crew gets back from Crescent City to have the lab start their part of the process, they can get started a little bit earlier.
And there are times when we need the blood so bad that we're sending couriers out to get it so we can get it processed.
Really that tight?
Yes, at times we are.
Well, and we have all of our testing happens in Mather in Sacramento. And so the tubes that you give at the time of donation are the testing tubes. Those get put on an airplane at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so there's a cutoff there where if it gets on that flight at 4 o'clock, we can release the product first thing the next morning, where we might have to wait till the next day if it doesn't make that 4 o'clock flight.
So as you're looking at some of those different challenges, I would think that it's kind of a juggling. You know, do you stay there? Do you get that last 2 or 3 units? Is it time to pack it up, drive it in? Not that there isn't somebody who's going to donate. It's just you want to have everything in the house and time to be able to process.
And we're also always juggling what the needs of the laboratory and the physical requirements of getting the components processed are with what's most convenient for the donors. We want to be sure that we're where people are. We need people to come in and donate in their free time for no reason other than it's the right thing to do. We want to make it as easy as we possibly can, but if they donate after a certain time and we're this many miles away, it's not going to be not going to be available the next
day. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Yeah.
So.
No, we try to never do that.
I can appreciate that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Gullum and Joanna Lepic-Davis from the Northern California Community Blood Bank. Guys, as you look at the marketplace or the community's basic understanding, do we know enough to be dangerous? Do we know not enough? Do we know what we should know about blood, the process, the business, if you will, of or the industry of what blood banking is?
I think.
Thanks for turning that water bucket my way.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That could contaminate the entire studio and requires sterilization in here.
Get out of here.
There was a very unique, strange combination of letters.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, give me the Lysol wipes.
I think that blood banking is probably a more complex business than people understand. It is a business. We're a nonprofit organization. We're a laboratory. We do sales. We have a canteen where we feed people. We have vehicles that put hundreds of thousands of miles a year on them. It's a very interesting business to be in. It is also highly regulated. The vast majority of what we do is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, along with a couple of other organizations that are, to greater or lesser extents, representatives of us, who help us decide how best to do things, look at best practices. One of the places where that definitely comes into play is disease testing. Currently, we're doing 13 screens on each unit of blood, every unit of blood that's donated. And those are for hepatitis, HIV, but they're also for things like Chagas disease, Familiar
with
that one?
Have you
ever heard of it? Yeah. Say it again.
Chagas.
You sounds like it would be college related.
It's a worm that falls off a thatched roof.
And we have right. so many around here. Right. But that's a national standard that
exactly.
has to be taken
right.
care of. Okay.
And so as things change, frankly, things become more restrictive. The Food and Drug Administration.
More testing, not less testing.
Correct.
Right.
It's easy to get things put on the list of things we need to look for. I've told people it almost literally takes an act of Congress to get something off the list.
So how much, John, does it cost if you have a, call it a unit. I don't know if it's a quart, pint.
Pint.
Depends on what the product is, probably. Right. How much is the cost for that unit before it ends up wherever it's going to end up, helping out whoever it's going to help out? And just for simplicity, let's say it stays in America.
Actually, we don't export anywhere out of the U.S.
So if there's a big need in Mexico or in Canada, American blood banks aren't going to help out?
They would. We don't directly. Thank you. There's what we refer to as a wheel and spoke system. If it's entirely possible that the blood bank in Sacramento sent units to Aurora, Colorado, that we then backfilled, we don't know for sure.
You pull the string, or somebody pulls a string, and
right, and that's the way it works in a disaster. There are units that went to Haiti. For that, and we backfilled units at some point in the process, so that the larger centers that were sending those things directly didn't run out for their patients. We helped them, and that's a system that was put in place by America's Blood Centers, so that whoever was closest didn't take the biggest hit. We all worked to solve that issue. As far as cost, honestly, I couldn't tell you.
All of the products are different. It depends on what component that we're making. But one of the things that is hard for a lot of people to sort of wrap your mind around is that the cost for us includes salary, electricity, et cetera, et cetera. The testing on each unit of blood, the tubes that we send away, is anywhere from $60 to $85. And every single donor, every donation, no matter if you've donated one time or 50 times, the same tests are being done on the blood every single time that it goes through. So that's one part of the cost. And then for the platelets and the plasma, we have kits that are basically, what do you call them, where no blood touches the outside?
It's
self-contained kits.
Closed.
And a closed system. So, and, you know, some of those plasma or platelet and red blood cell kits, they run anywhere from $50 to upwards of well over $100 for each kit. So it's dependent on what we are actually trying to produce.
KINS, News and Information Times, 341. We'll be back with more from John Golem and Joanna Lepik-Davis.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. We're back to talk shop this afternoon about about blood. I guess we're talking about blood rather than the blood bank itself with John Golem and Joanna Lepik-Davis. Guys, as you look at the future for our area, as we age and the communities continue to age, does that mean we're going to need more blood, less blood, same amount of blood, completely different factor, or what are the pressures in a relatively stable population base? What do you see down the road?
Well, the population numbers are stable, but the population is aging. Demographically, the baby boomers are going to get to the age where, in the past, folks have become blood users rather than blood donors. Now,
I prefer to think of that as remodeling. Thank you.
Okay. Now, baby boomers are unlike most other generations. It'll be interesting to see if they use blood products at the same rate as people their age 10, 15 years ago did. Heart surgery.
Well, let's play that out and say mm-hmm. yes.
Okay.
It'll be the same. So we got the shift within mm-hmm. in the trend, but the population base is still constant.
More blood products will be used. There will be fewer people, their kids, donating. So we're going to need them to donate more often. The silver lining is the baby boomers had fewer kids. Their kids had more kids. The kids coming up now, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds now, that population is a mini boom. It's and those kids we've found, from our experience at least locally, are incredible kids. I mean, the kids we've met at the high schools the last 3 and 4 years, they're donating 4 and 5 and 6 times before they graduate from high school.
And more. The donor recruiter in me has to pop in right now. So over 20.
Somehow I sent you wedge in on the
I've been quiet for long enough. 25% of our blood supply comes from students in the high schools and the College of the Redwoods and HSU. So in any given year, 1/4 of the blood that we collect is coming from students. And at the end of the year, we give students, we have what we call a Red Cord program. And that Red Cord program is an opportunity for students to earn an award and an acknowledgement that is not academic. So kids donate 3 times or more, they get a Red Cord to wear at graduation. So I become very aware of how many units students are donating. And at Ferndale High School, there were 2 students that had donated over 12 times. That's absolutely amazing from the time between their 16 and roughly 19, somewhere in there.
Will they continue, Joanna, to donate after they get out of school? Is that a lifelong habit? Or is that kind of cool and then they move on to other elements?
There's both, actually. And both of them are important to us because one-time donors are very important in the sense that we always need blood. Then there are others that, for example, we see at Humboldt State University, students that are coming from other states, other cities in California, and they're telling us that they've donated there before. So they've left their high school, and then they come to the university and they donate here.
So this isn't a local phenomenon. It's more of a national?
It's somewhat mm-hmm. of a national phenomenon, yes. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention is our community. We are one of, if not the only, blood center in the United States that doesn't offer basically incentives or rewards for people donating. So what that really is, it's a testament to the people in our community, because in our community, I can go anywhere and say, our people donate just from the heart, just because it's a gift that they can give, not because they got a t-shirt or movie tickets. And our administrator feels very strongly that that's who we are and that's who we're going to stay. So in addition to that, we have donors that are donating at nearly twice the national average rate. And while that's a really, really wonderful number, it's also important to note that we always have chronic shortages if you're O negative, O positive, or A positive. So don't let that stop you
from
donating.
That's nice, but don't relax.
Just yet. But it is a testament to our neighbors. You know, it's something that people can do, and they're doing it without reward, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Well, maybe it's because they just want to be close to you two guys.
It's possible. We're fun to be around. Not just us. The people we work with are fun to be around. There's
absolutely
no doubt about it.
Yeah. So you can go to your guys' website, find out where the Bloodmobile is going to be, or you can always just pop into the shop here
yep.
on
Harrison. Yep. Absolutely. NCCBB.org or find us on Facebook.
Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.